Well, I'd like to say I'm glad to be here tonight. I always count it a real privilege to be able to come and worship the Lord. Last night we had a good time here under the tent. We talked about the wonderful things of God, and we talked about things as to a confirmation of real holy living and being ready to meet Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, I made the statement last night that this tent meeting up here, as well as about all of our meetings or the things that we do, being led by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible said as many as are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. And being led by the Spirit of the Lord, then I spoke of this having to do with a completion of a time cycle. Perhaps you wouldn't understand at all what I was saying in that, but it has to do with a completing of a time cycle. And even the tent that's set here as to this particular tent has to do with completing a time cycle. I remember when we set our big five-pole tent over in Kings Mountain, has to do with ending a time cycle, and everything came to pass exactly the way that we understood that it would. And here, with this particular tent, this had to do with ending a certain thing is concerning the move of God. You know, we've got all kinds of things in the world today, people talking about the move of God and the things of God. And it's true that everything is the move of God in that God has His way in the good and evil. And the Bible teaches that evil cannot come to a city lest I've sent it, saith the Lord. So we know that whether it be good or whether it be evil, it's still the move of God as to what God allows or what God brings about. Like the Bible says, that out of about 3 million people coming out of Egypt, he said, if you'll do what I tell you, diligently hearken unto my commandments, keep my ways and my statutes, I will bring upon you none of these diseases that I brought upon the Egyptians. And the original rendering of that was to allow these things to come upon you and that God doesn't do evil. But he does have his way in the good and evil. And it is a true fact that when he created Lucifer, he created him upright. As the Bible says of the prophets of old, that all of his pipes was upright, everything was perfect in him until iniquity was found in him. And of course, there's so much revelation concerning that until it would take all night long just to get into it. But I said that to say this, that we come here, we talk about the move of God, and this really is a move of God. And as a matter of fact, it is that is getting the church ready to go out. You can be seated. I appreciate your courtesy of standing with me. Everything is getting ready for the translation of the church. I made mention just before we come up here, I made mention to the congregation there where we were preaching in Bethlehem that everything is just timely for the church to make its exit. And when the church discovers who they are, then they'll go out. And they're on the verge of discovering who they are. Most people would say, well, Brother Pike, the church has always known who they are. Well, I differ with you. I differ with you on that. Maybe you're right. I'm wrong. You know, we'll just give you the benefit of the doubt. But when I say wrong, I could be wrong as good as you could be wrong, you know, or just as sure as you could be wrong. But I just happen to know the Master, and I happen to know that what I'm telling you is exactly the truth. The church hasn't known who it is. No more than a little babe when it is born into the world. A little babe when it is born into the world, it doesn't know who it is. It doesn't know anything about anything. See, it comes into this world, it's got life, but it doesn't know anything about anything. It doesn't know whether it belongs to a pauper or whether it belongs to a king. It doesn't know as a child. If it is a little boy, it doesn't know whether it's the son of a king or the son of a pauper. It doesn't know what it is. It doesn't know anything. But as it grows up, it begins to learn. It begins to be tutored. It begins to see and understand. It begins to grasp what's happening around it, and it begins to learn about its environment and as to what it is and who it is and its purpose in life. It can be the purpose of becoming a great prince or being heir to the throne. So it learns as it grows up. Well, the church has been in that kind of condition. The church is now growing up. And at last, it's beginning to realize that it really is a prince and that it really is heir to the throne. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me, even as I have overcome and sat down in the throne with my Father, Jesus said. And of course, heaven is the throne, so it's a big place. Earth is the footstool. There's a lot of room for people to overcome and sit down in the throne with the Heavenly Father. The way that we think, a lot of times, it dwarfs things in our mind and we don't understand. But the Lord understands, and they that are the righteous shall come to understand. I hear people so often, they say, well, you won't never understand, you know. The only thing is you have to believe. Now, that's not true as of a grown-up in the Lord. The Bible said the righteous shall understand and the wicked shall not understand. But it is true that the righteous shall understand. And the Bible speaks of a great light coming to people as it was in the end time after Calvary there at the end of the world. Peter telling those people that ye are the people upon whom the end of the world have come. And it was said unto these people, great light has sprung up unto you that set in the regions of the shadow of death. It was also said, and this great light shined in darkness, and the darkness could not comprehend it. Evidently, those people that are of the world, that are in this world and of the world, are in intellectual darkness, and they are blind, and they cannot see. The Bible said they cannot see when good cometh. And so they are blind. As I say so often, being blind, being creatures of the darkness, all they have is their human senses as feelers, like a bat, kind of like a radar system. And all they can do is just feel their way around. They feel through the 22 conductive nerves from the eye to the brain. They feel their way in sight. They feel their way in hearing. They feel their way in touch and taste and smell. These kind of things. But as to having eyes to see, the Bible said that Lucifer, even Satan, the god of this world, hath blinded their eyes that they cannot see when the good comes, nor can they comprehend this great light. But it tells us that we are not children of darkness, but children of light. And we do comprehend this light. This light shines in our midst, and we comprehend the heights, we comprehend the depth, we comprehend the length, we comprehend the width of it. So we comprehend this great light, and we see this great light through the eyes of our understanding. So the righteous will understand. And we comprehend through the understanding, and Solomon says that the understanding is the tree of life. That is a tree of life. Understanding is your tree of life. Said when you get wisdom, you get knowledge. Though you get it all, with it get understanding. Because understanding is the tree of life. So it's very evident that we are children of light, and this great wonderful light that's shining, though the world cannot comprehend it with all of their educational facilities, college, schooling, whatever it might be, they're still blind and in darkness and still doing the things of the blind man. If the blind lead the blind, Jesus said, they all fall into the ditch. But we being children of light, we know where we come from, we know where we are, we know where we're going. And we comprehend this great wonderful light. So it is the true fact, since we are children of light, then when the word of God comes forth, we understand. Whereas a person would say, but Brother Pike, anytime the word of God comes forth, people understand it because there's churches all over the world. And that's true. Having preached around the world, I'm real familiar with that. See, and I know that all men's hearts are fashioned alike to search after Christ. But the thing is, or that is to search after God. They have many gods to us. There's but one God, that's Christ. And I know that all around the world, you know, people, they hear the gospel. Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, nevertheless, herein I rejoice because the gospel is preached. And whatever a man's motive is as to the preacher, it doesn't matter what he's preaching for, what he's after, fame, popularity, money, to build himself, whatever, in this world to make himself known, yet the gospel is still being preached as long as they preach the word. And the Bible teaches that they do preach the word to some extent. Even ministers of wickedness. The Bible said these are ministers of Satan with doctrines of devils. But by the transforming of their minds during the days of grace while the blood is on the seat of atonement, they, as the tare being in the rain being on the wheat and the tare, they transformate their minds. And through the transformation of mind, they preach the word. They get up and preach the word, and as quick as the anointing lives, as the rain being poured out on them, they go out and they do the evil things of the world, and they're caught in the evil things of the world and still are going to be lost. Paul said, I keep unto my body, I bring it into subjection, lest I have preached to others, I must have become a castaway. Well, anyway, we're here to preach the word of God in all truth. The Bible said, he that God sendeth will preach the word, the true, wonderful word, pure and undefiled religion. There's many kinds of religions, but pure and undefiled religion, the kind that gets you eternal life and gets you into the kingdom, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the widows and the orphans in their afflictions, and then you keep yourself unspotted from the world. To come out from among them, to be a separate people, and I'll receive you, saith the Lord, to be holy, not only in spirit, but in body, and that the body is the Lord's. The Bible says you're to be holy in body and in spirit. You're to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought, to meditate in his laws day and night. So since the body is the Lord's, we don't need to give it to Satan. Satan, as you know, is the god of this world. And when you say that, someone would get lost in the shuffle and say, well, my God, I thought that our God, Jesus, was the god of this world. Well, he isn't. Satan, Lucifer, is the god of this world. And this world is a fantasism, as I said last night, only a reflection of the real world that emanated from God, and that all things emanated from God. And this is only a reflection of it. And the Bible said concerning this world, that this world is the lust of the eyes, it is the pride of life, and this world and all that is in this world, all of your activities that is in this world, all of this world and all of the activities of this world, that it will pass away, because it is the lust of the flesh and it is the pride of life. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So then that means that there is an invisible world, a spirit world as well as a natural world. There's a spirit man and a spirit woman as well as a natural man and a natural woman. And the natural man and woman being Esau, this world belongs to them. And it's given to them and it will be destroyed. Even the heavens will be destroyed. The stars will fall from heaven. Even the earth will melt with fervent heat. Literally be ablaze. And the bodies of human beings, Peter said, will actually dissolve. But see, when this body dissolves, Peter said, we have another one eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. If we've borne the image of the earthy, as to the first man Adam, unto sin, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly, the second man Adam, even the quickening spirit, unto life. And there is a glory of this world as to this body, and a glitter and a glamour, and the fashions of this world that perish. There is a great glory to this world, and people who belong to this world, they strive and they go after that glory. But there is a glory of the next body and the next world, which is the second man, Adam, even the Christ that's from heaven. And that glory is an eternal glory that does never pass away. And the glory of that invisible world and the glory of that invisible God, this is what we're looking for. So the Bible said we serve God with our mind and with our spirit, even the invisible God. So we know then that this world is on the decline. And we know that everything is passing away. And we know that everything in this world that seems to be lifted up and magnified, that's great and mighty, as to whatever it might be in any field of activity in this world, anything that is highly esteemed of men, the Bible said it is an abomination in the sight of God. So we are looking not at things which do appear, for we walk not by sight, but by faith. And walking by faith, we look beyond this veil that was rent at Calvary, and we look into the wonderful world of God. So we see this wonderful light, and we hear this wonderful word, and then it is turned into spirit and into life, into revelation. The Bible said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So then we find that we do understand, whereas around the world, when others hear the gospel, all they hear is Bible stories, and all they hear is a preacher talk about this printed page, this actual printed page, this literature that we carry called the Bible, The word Bible, meaning 66 books, or a compiled teaching of some sort. So we know that these things are natural. Though it is the Bible, yet it is natural words. But when Jesus gives this word as to not the printed page, but as it was in the days of the prophets, when the Bible said, and the word of God came unto the prophets, it wasn't a printed page, it was a spiritual inspiration. And today that same God still lives, and he still activates, and he still illuminates. And with this, he charges our body and our heart to the extent that the veil comes off of the word. And let me say this, and then we're going to have reference to the word here just for a minute. So then, what am I saying? I'm saying that Paul was a great Bible scholar. He was a great learned man. So much was he learned that even the elite of that day and the great people, as in the upper echelon, had such great respect for Paul as to Gamaliel, under whom he was tutored. Those kind of things. They said, Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. They knew his reputation. See, but he was as blind as a bat. And just as quick as the light came, as he was persecuting the church when his name was still yet Saul, and he was breathing out threats against them, all of a sudden this great light shined from heaven round about him, and he fell to his knees, and this great light, a voice came from it and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And here he was, so religious and so great, and persecuting all the time. That's the way it is with the world today. See, they're so contrary to us, and we're so contrary to them. See, because we're walking toward righteousness and holiness to preserve our life and our heritage and our world. That is to say, as to the earth abideth forever. Not the world as to the system, but the earth itself abideth forever. One generation comes, another goes, but this earth goes right on into the millennium for 1,000 years, and then it is transfigured as to a translation right into the wonderful celestial world. And while we're trying to protect our heritage, knowing God's going to have to purge it because it's been defiled by Satan and those that serve Satan, then we are pleading for souls, hating the garment that's spotted with iniquity and trying to get control of their mind to let them know that whatever their mind is on, that's what they are. For the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is, and his mind is in his heart. His brain is in his head, but his mind is in his heart. And as he thinks in his heart, so he is. And Jesus warned the Pharisees and scribes with all their religious ritualistics. He said, out of the heart comes forth the issues of life. Do thy diligence to keep thine heart, for the heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? He said, it's out of the heart. It's not what you eat and what you drink. He said, it's out of the heart that comes forth thoughts of fornication and thoughts of blasphemy and unclean thoughts of all kind. And this defiles a man. It defiles the temple. And God has to destroy the temple. Well, if you turn to Matthew 28, you'll find here it says in Matthew 28, to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's why we're in Charleston tonight, is that we have come into this part of the world. I've never been here before that I know of, even passing through Charleston. If I have, I don't recall it. And I've never ministered here in Charleston, though I've ministered throughout the Carolinas and the North Carolina and different places and in South Carolina. But I've never ministered here in Charleston. But being here at this particular time, it has great significance as going into this part of the world, as we would say, to preach the gospel to these creatures that will respond to this meeting. We did not set a meeting here. We usually like to set a meeting where we have ministers to fellowship at a breakfast and to get different ones that wants to work with us, because we like to work with the shepherds. But just having 2 or 3 days and being pressed in coming here the way that we set it up for an allegoric purpose, then we have another meeting over in Boone's, right up near the Virginia line. And that makes us come in here and just set the tent for 2 or 3 days, and then we're gone. And other than just maybe a telephone call or two here and there that I think maybe Brother Ron Pazin got in to let the ministers know that we were not coming in just to try to steal some sheep or proselyte, then we sent this little invitation out, and here we are tonight. And we're thankful to God for the opportunity to be here. I'm thankful for people coming out, because I like to preach to people. Ministers want to preach to people. And I'm thankful that the ministers have come out, or the people have come out, whoever it might be here tonight. I'm grateful for that because I love to preach to people. But if there had been nobody here but me, then I would have been glad that I was here because of the spiritual thing that I understand is taking place. You know, wherever I have gone in the world, I have never failed to have people. But I recall on one occasion, out of all my ministry, I was in the state of Nebraska, and I'd gone there in my real early ministry to pastor a church. And one night, I went out to the church. And there I was new at the church. And I went there at the church, and this little mission church, I got into it. It was raining, it was muddy, it was bad, it was terrible. And I thought, oh God, you know, I just got to go to church. I can't let the folks down. I got to be at church. Well, I went to church that night, and there wasn't one single person there. First time I ever had that happen to me in my life, and the last time. And I was so moved, I thought, oh my God, am I here by myself? This is terrible, this is terrible. I thought, here I am by myself, and I come out here in the rain and all this, and not one single individual is out here to hear me preach tonight. And so I just sat down, you know, was kind of moping and mourning and going on. And then after a while, the Lord spoke to me. And it struck me in such a way, it just lit me up just like a lamp. And I said, wait a minute, this ain't so bad after all. I thought, well, my God, as the Lord began to reveal to me, I thought that this is wonderful, this is heavenly. I thought, here I am. I'm the only one that loved the Lord enough to be out at church tonight. Praise God. So, you know, it just depends on the way you look at a situation. If you look at the situation right, it can be a real blessing in disguise, and you might not understand that. God took Philip away from a citywide revival, took him down to one person, down to a eunuch, and there he was to preach to this eunuch, and he found this eunuch reading, and he said, do you understand what you read? He said, how can I understand when I don't have anyone to teach me? See, and so he taught him and then baptized him in the name of the Lord. And then the Spirit caught Philip away. And see, this seemed like it was so odd for God to do that, to take him away from a citywide revival and take him over to one individual. But it just so happens that this one individual was the eunuch of the queen. And getting this to the queen, that meant that him being with her all the time, that he would get this into the upper echelon and up into the monarch. A sign of life, and there they would score a terrific victory for God. So let's not be discouraged in well-doing. Whatever it is that God tells you to do, just remember that we are God's witnesses and that we go into all the world and we preach the gospel to every creature. We testify to people. We don't cast our pearls before swine, but we do find open hearts and we do find people that want to hear about the gospel and that want to know something about Jesus. And when we find this opening and this opportunity, we seize upon it and we leave a wonderful testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ with that individual. And remember now, every individual that we win to God, you win to God, that means that that is a jewel within your crown of life. See, everyone that you win to God, that is a jewel. In your sovereignty of this life, you gather jewels. Like the rich man gathers jewels, or the great multimillionaires gather jewels, you gather jewels. They only gather jewels symbolically speaking, but you gather the real jewels. And these wonderful jewels that you're gathering are jewels in your crown of life. You know, the Bible said in the book of Malachi, and I will remember you, saith the Lord, when I make up my jewels and spare you as a man spareth his son. And so then you are gathering jewels for your crown. Now, when we think of crowns, you know, naturally speaking, we think of a man sitting on a seat up here, you know, or like somebody sitting on a stump with a little piece of metal around his head and some of these diamonds or jewels of this world, and which we esteem to be great things. But in all reality, that's nothing. See, when the Bible speaks of jewels in your crown of life, it is speaking of your crown of life to the extent that God will crown your spirit and your heart with the abundance of life. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Life, and I've come that you might have life, and that have it more abundant, the word meaning filled up and overflowing.
And so then he will crown your spirit and your soul with life. And this wonderful, expanding, ever-expanding life takes in all of eternity, that you comprehend the heights and the depth and the width and the length of the great, wonderful mind of God and the things of God, because you have an unction from the Holy One that ye should know all things. And Jesus said, all things that my Father hath made known unto me, I've made known unto you. And the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being made in the image of God, in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't try to make of himself a reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant, in that we are in the form of a servant as to our first act of creation through the fall of Adam. But today we are now regenerated. We are now born again. He hath crowned our soul with life, with everlasting living. And we are filled with his love and with his glory and with his spirit, having joy unspeakable, and that filled with glory. Hallelujah. All right, so then we know that we are children of God. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. You know, right here we get into a little deep water when we try to say these kind of things. I, of course, would love to come up here, and the first thing I'd love to do is get into the deep, deep mysteries of Almighty God. The Bible said, great is the mystery of God. And Paul said, I am a steward of the mystery. And in that God hath made known unto me the revelation of the Lord Jesus, then I just love to walk into the deep water. And I live in it all the time because this is my life. I just love it. And I would love to just come up here and just start pouring out from my heart the wonderful abundance of the deep, wonderful hidden treasures of God. But the thing is, we have all kinds of people that come out. And sometimes we have little spiritual babes where the Bible said that they should desire the sincere milk of the Word. And sometimes in tent meetings we have people that don't know anything about God. They've never even had an experience with God. They've never even been converted, or they've never been born again. And when you get into those things as to the church, of tutoring to seal the church in, then a lot of times you go completely over their head and they get lost in the shovel and they don't even know what you're talking about. So it's like a mother that prepares a meal. She must of necessity not only put meat, as to the Bible said, the meat is for the strong. They are by reasoning, exercise their senses to be able to discern between the good and the evil. But she must also furnish some milk. There must be some milk of the Word. And so when we come together, we try to mix up everything as much as we can by having a full meal, a full course, and some milk for the babies. Now, first of all, I said that we know that we pass from death unto life. Then the question arises in our hearts a lot of times, people not being acquainted with the real gospel of Christ Jesus. What is meant by passing from death unto life? Well, it means you won't ever die. Just taking my time a little bit here tonight, it means that you won't ever die. And someone would say, well, Brother Pike, everybody dies. And I know what the Bible says, you know. They say, because the Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Should we believe that? Isn't that the Word? That's true. That is the Word. You should believe that by all means. But then we should understand what the Bible is telling us, what God is trying to get over to us, what He wants us to know. See, if this is true, isn't it also true that the Bible said we pass from death unto life? Isn't that the Word? Shouldn't we believe that also? Shouldn't it be line upon line and precept upon precept? I don't alter this over here and change this, because the Bible said the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. You don't alter, you don't change the Word of God. So I don't change that. Then if I say this other, should you change the other? Or should we find out how that the puzzle fits together and make sure that we understand that when we expound to other people, they know what we're trying to tell them? Is it true that we have passed from death unto life? Of course it is. That's what the Bible says. And I can't change the Word of God. So is it true that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that in the judgment? That is true. I can't change that. I don't want to change that. That's words of life. But then what is meant by this, that we have passed from death unto life? What does God mean by that? See, I would say to you, I'd say that is true. It is appointed unto man once to die, after that, the judgment. But I would also say unto you that the Bible says The Bible says, first of all, let every man be a liar. Let the word of God be true. The Bible says, as we preach the gospel to every creature, that God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, and loosed them that was appointed unto death. That in a day accepted, he succored them, and that he loosed them from the appointment unto death. And so then when Christ came to loose people from the appointment unto death, in that he took our place in death, he met the appointment with death, he met the appointment at the judgment, and we esteem him smitten of God, bruised for our transgressions, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him by whose stripes we're healed. And the Bible said, I am the Lord God that forgiveth all of thine iniquities and healeth all of thy diseases. So we know that we have been delivered, that we pass from death unto life, and that we are free. We are standing in the liberties of the sons of God. And the Bible said, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made thee free. So we know that we're free from sin and we're free from death. Now let's just check it out a little bit. Let's look at it and see what's meant by that. Paul, the overseer to the Gentile church, he tells us these wonderful, great things. What is he saying? How have I passed from death unto life? How do I know that I passed from death unto life? By faith in the Word. And how do I find this? By the teachings of Paul. Since he was the Gentile overseer, I find that he tells me that transgression of the law is sin, and that the sting of death is sin. That transgression of the law is sin because transgression of the law brings death. And if the transgression of the law is sin, and if the sting of death is sin, if there was some way the law could be put away, or God could do away with the law, then there would be no sin, and there would be no sting of death, and therefore how could you die if there was no sting of death? So then Paul said that Jesus met this appointment at Calvary. He took away our sins. Our sins are forever gone. Our sins are behind us. As it was said to Daniel when the angel came, and Messiah shall come, he said, and make an end of iniquity, and he shall do away with sin. And inasmuch as the Bible said, in iniquity did my mother conceive me, when God smote that image, that body of sin, that Calvary, that done away with my image of the first birth, and it is no longer I that live, Paul said, but Christ that liveth within me, and the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. Paul said, as concerning this body, it is so contrary. He said, it is the bastard child image. It come into the world because of sin, and fell into the world because of sin, and through the lust of the flesh, through the weakness of the flesh, and it fell into the world. Failed from that great, wonderful level of paradise where it was illuminated with the presence and the wonderful Shekinah of God, fell into the earth, and the Bible said, and God put it upon its belly because the old serpent mind entered into it, and he said, you are a generation of vipers, as John come to preach to him, said, you are a generation of vipers, and said, your labor is for your belly because your mouth and your belly craves it of you. And he said, you are a generation of vipers. And when he come, he laid the axe to the root of the tree and he cut that family tree down all the way back to the garden where this thing got started. And then God raised up another family tree when he gave us a root. Whereas the Bible said, if God had not left us a root, we'd be like unto Sodom and Gomorrah. But the root, the offspring of David, as to Christ Jesus, the bright and the morning star of this day, star of revelation that's dawning on the inside of you to make you understand this wonderful light that's shining in the midst of the darkness of this intellectual thing of today of the people who are blind. This light is shining today. It has come into your heart. It's come into your midst. And so then the old tree of knowledge has been cut down. The old tree of reasoning has been cut down. And the Bible said, don't lean to your own understanding, but cast down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought to meditate in his laws day and night. So then we know that we've passed from death unto life. How do we know that? Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? To will is present, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Then Paul came to a decision. He said, the law, in that it was weak through the flesh, it could not help me, though the law was righteous, though the command was holy, and though it was intended for life. He said, it could not help me to this extent. I am carnal and sold unto sin. The law is spiritual, but I am carnal. And because of this, Satan intimidated me. Paul said, sin, taken occasion by the law, wrought within me all kind of concupiscence and the motions of sins work in my body. He said, for I was alive without the law, but when the law came, sin revived, and I died. Said, sin was dead without the law. But when the law came, then he said, sin revived, and I died, and that which was ordained unto life I found to be unto death. Is that which is good made death unto me? Paul said, God forbid, but sin, that it might magnify sin, in that I was taken into captivity by sin. As the Bible said concerning the children of this world, they're taken into captivity with a regularity at the will of the devil. So then he said, when this thing come, the law was added because of the transgression. Where there's no knowledge of sin, sin's not imputed. But yet after the similitude of Adam, all was dying and nobody could understand it. But when the law came, it revealed the impurities. Like a physician that examines the body and finds out that you got cancer. When you've got all kinds of problems and you're dying and you don't understand it. But when he goes over it with his intellectual definition, then he tells you what's wrong with you. See, and then he can offer to you a remedy. And so when the law came, then it revealed to us these things. But it was so overwhelming because it was the attributes of God as to manifest it to let us know what kind of God, how great he is. And we couldn't measure up to that. And so we just fell under condemnation, and the devil took that and just beat us on the head with it. He just pressed us down and he just made slaves out of us to the extent we just go around saying, well, there's none perfect, you know. We just have to trust in luck. There's none perfect. God's going to work it out. But folks, that's not right. The Bible said Job was a perfect man. It said, mark the perfect man among you. And then it speaks of those that have been born again. And it tells us that they that have been born again, the Bible said that God hath perfected them forever. He hath made them perfect. And it said they're without spot, and they're without wrinkle, and they're without blemish or any such thing. It said that they're sealed on the inside with the great, wonderful Holy Spirit, and they have the ability through faith as to the seed of which they've conceived, the holy seed of God, even the word of the Lord, the Son of God on the inside of them, said they conceive of this seed, and this seed remains in them, and Christ never leaves them nor forsakes them. For the Bible said, and I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee, but lo, I am with thee always, even till the end of the world. So then we know that God is a true help in the time of need. We know then that we've conceived of the wonderful seed of God, like Mary the Virgin. And we know that on the inside, Christ is forming in us. As from transformation of mind, from glory to glory, we're transformed into this wonderful image, like the mother carrying the little one. Then we know that Christ is being formed. For Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed on the inside of you. And this wonderful Christ, there's coming a showing. Just like there comes a birth and everybody makes a fuss over the babe, there's coming a showing. And this wonderful babe is going to be shown. And Christ is going to be made manifest in your life. And the Bible said the creature, which is the body, this thing that is the beast that's been made subject to vanity, as to the things of this world, dependent upon these things for survival as to the human senses. We are, as the creature, as the body, as this part of the beast, we are subjected to vanities. We are subject as to bonds children. That is, you are a bonds child in your first birth. And you are the old cocoon of the serpent. That thing that's moving through the earth, that's upon his belly. For the Bible said, and God hath put him upon his belly, and all of his labor is for his belly and for his mouth, because his belly craves it of him. And God said unto Adam, from the dust thou art, and to the dust thou shalt return. And he said as to the serpent, and ye shall eat dust all the days of your life. And that serpent, being symbolic, showed what had happened to humanity and how that Satan had entered into the first man Adam, and that this wonderful Adam that had been a figure of him to come, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said he was a figure of him to come. This great wonderful Adam had failed from the Shekinah glory of that wonderful image of not being in the transgression. Now having failed to the dust, as from the dust that he was taken from, he had fell back to that dust. And now Lucifer had entered into him as to that mind from the tree of knowledge, making him the head of that old serpent and the generation of vipers that in Adam all die. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you remember Eve was the one that transgressed? I told you, some of you, Eve was the one that transgressed. Adam was not in the transgression. He was illuminated as a figure of him to come. But the thing is, Eve was the body of Adam. And she had no mind of her own other than the fact that Adam was the head of the family. And she was misery's Adam. She was flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone. And God only made that for an allegoric purpose, that we who could not see beyond the veil in the spirit might have some natural allegoric type and shadow of what was happening spiritually. And so then the sin that we saw was between Eve and between Adam, that a mind had entered into Eve and that had separated her from Adam. And now there was a distance between them. And now Eve had a mind of her own, which was the mind of the serpent. And now Adam had a mind of his own, which was the mind of God. And here they were at a contest with each other. Rather than being one, they were now divided. And of course, as Paul said in his day, speaking of the covering cherubs, of which thing we cannot speak particular, we could speak more particular of it tonight, but we don't have time to get into Revelation. But in this little bit, God had taken Adam there. We see it. He had taken him out of the dust. God had made Eden. Not only had made Eden, but he had made in a little corner of Eden the garden that was called the Garden of Eden. And in this, he had picked this man up, having made him out of the dust, raised him up out of the dust, took him over here to this little garden, put him in the garden over here, this wonderful place called paradise, illuminated him with his presence, and raised him up above the beast, and made him the king over everything. And whatever he named it, that's what it was. And made him the ruler over all things. And illuminated him with the image of God, that he might be very God, as to a figure of him to come, even the Lord Jesus, who is the great and mighty God in personification. So then, there he stood, and the great God of all of the active creation, and God, the great Father, who is an eternal spirit, wanting to dwell in him in the abundance of life, and through a divine contract as the body with the spirit and the spirit with the body, that God, the great eternal spirit, might project himself throughout all of the earth and all of the great wonderful things that emanated from God, that God might enjoy this creation through man while man had the abundance of eternal life and existence. Well, anyway, when God picked him up and God put him in the garden where the tree of life was and where the tree of knowledge of good and evil was, when he put him there, he gave him his choice. He wanted him to be a sovereignty. And we don't have time to really follow this through tonight. It would take too long. But just kind of picking up a little bit sporadically here and there to put it together to where you might understand what we've said about life. See, it is a true fact that here God had illuminated him and could communicate with him, and he was on God's level. See, think it not robbery to be equal with God in that you're made in the image of God. And here he had been made, Adam had been made in the wonderful image of that Shekinah glory, which was the image of God, which Shekinah was lost through the fall when Adam fell from the garden and went back out into Eden with the animals. God said, the day that thou eatest that tree, ye shall surely die. And so then, within the radius of 1,000 years, as the Bible speaks of a God day with God, it says, and a day with God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day with God. And the Lord said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So no man has ever lived 1,000 years as of yet. Methuselah got the closest to it. And there will have to come a millennium of 1,000 years of reign, which is God's Sabbath, or the day of his rest, that a man must live 1,000 years without dying before God can make the change to take it into the wonderful celestial world, which is considered the eighth day, or the circumcision. So that as moving the veil of all the intellect and all this world and all the shadows, that the great wonderful light of God in that city where there cometh no night, there the Lamb will be the revelation as to the light of that city. In that light indicates understanding, and darkness indicates ignorance. So, we know that Adam failed from the Shekinah, and he went back to the dust out in Eden with the animals. He subjected himself to the beast life, lost that great, wonderful height of glory with God as to the God life, And today science has traced man's origin back and proved that he really is animal. And so then that means that when he failed to this, Adam had allowed, through the weakness of the flesh as to listening to Eve, he had allowed the mind of Satan to come into him. And when Satan came into Adam as to those things of the knowledge of good and evil, he failed from the presence of God. God could not look upon him anymore, because instead of being in the image of God as to the illumination of that wonderful Shekinah, it lifted and went away. And God, who came looking for Adam, said, "Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou?" He had got lost off. And said, "Where art thou?" And Adam said, "We hid ourselves because we were naked." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" Now remember this, they had been naked all the time. There was nothing wrong with them being naked. There was no shame. There is still no shame with a person being naked today. It's the filthy, degraded mind and the way that the mind thinks that causes all of this degraded thing. Paul said, "I am persuaded to believe there's nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth the thing to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For even his conscience is defiled." So then, they had been naked all the time, but there was no shame. There was nothing that they saw. And now they said, "We are naked, and so we hid ourselves and sewed together some fig leaves that they might hide their nakedness." For the Lord, they were lost from God. He could not look on iniquity. And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked?" He said, "Have you eaten of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that I told you not to eat of?" See, remember now, they already knew good. They were already in the presence of good, the environment of good, circumstantial environment was good, and all that they could get in eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil was evil. Satan, who had been in the presence of God, that had been as the sun of the morning according to the prophets, and had been illuminated with the things of God, there it stood as an image, Adam, and was to... That Shekinah was to go away, and Adam was to become the body of Lucifer and the head of Lucifer with that mind, and the generation all the way down from the fall in the garden was to be under death, all of his seed under death. And in Adam all die, not in Eve, but Adam all die, because she was Adam's flesh, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So in that carnal mind today, there's still death. There's still death today. For the Bible said to be intellectually minded, to be carnally minded, to be worldly minded, to have nothing but a mind of houses and cars and eating and drinking and gold and silver and diamonds and pearls and frolic and all of the things of the world. He said this is death, because the carnal mind is not subjected to God. It is not subject to the great invisible God. It is not subject to the things of God. Therefore, indeed, it cannot be subjected. So then you are a bondage child, and you are in bondage to the beggarly elements of this world, which is your human senses as through your five senses, and that's the only form of life that you have. And as I said last night, if your eyes go out, you've lost part of your life. If your ears go out as to the hearing, you've lost another part of your life. If your smelling and taste goes out, you're almost dead by the time you've lost all that much. And when your feeling in general goes out, then you're dead. For the spirit leaves the body. Still talking about life, and we're going to close in just a few minutes because it takes so long to get into these wonderful mysteries of God. So then we know that all the way from Adam down to Calvary, and there you have death. And then all of a sudden, here comes John out of the wilderness saying the axe is laid to the root of the tree. That is to say, that old tree of knowledge, God isn't going to let it go any farther. And the axe is laid to the root of the tree. And he said, in cutting that tree down, this ends it. And all the way back to the garden, everything was cut down. The old tree of knowledge was cut down. The family tree of those of intellect was cut down. And those that were under the law went out of the presence of God. Until that time, blood had been spilt all the way down as a blood covering, because the life is in the blood, and Satan had gotten into the bloodstream in a beast realm and had taken this life into captivity. And God had to have a blood sacrifice all the way down of an innocent animal that he might someday bring an innocent image as to the animal image of which Adam fell to. And that life of that animal image as an innocent one had to be spilt to do away with sin. And only because man fell into this without being developed and where there's no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed, and man escaped that sinful tragedy because he didn't understand it, because he was undeveloped. And God, through the great foreknowledge, knowing all things, into the Bible said all of his works is known unto him from the beginning. He slew the lamb in his mind. The Bible speaks of the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He wrote our names down in the lamb's book of life. Paul said, salute my women workers whose names are in the lamb's book of life while they were living in this world. And so he wrote their names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wrote our names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then the Bible said them are the ones that he foreknew. The ones that he saw as he looked down through the telescope of time. And he saw in this day as to this meeting and every meeting in our age. And saw the people that would repent of their sins and people that would come to God. And people that would hear the Word and believe the Word and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And commit their lives to his trust. Calling upon the name of the Lord, for the Bible said it shall come to pass. Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then, giving the blood atonement, the blood is on the seat of atonement today. The blood is on the mercy seat today. And Jesus died to take away the sins of the world, and the sins of the world have been taken away not only for the Christian, but for every living creature on the face of the earth for a dispensational period, that the rain is to the grace of God might come down upon them, giving them a chance to come to repentance. As the Bible said, surely the love of God draws us to repentance or leads us to repentance. And so then all have a chance to get in this life, even to the extent of a reflection, that they might learn right and wrong. And when they come to the knowledge of right and wrong, if they refuse it, then the end of their life comes. For the Bible said, once you've come to the knowledge of the truth, after that you've known the way, coming to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but only the fearful looking forward to the fire indignation of God that shall devour his adversaries. So now the world is coming to the knowledge of the truth. And when the gospel has been preached in all the world for witness, then shall the end come. And so then through television, through radio, through publication, through missionary efforts, through open air crusades, even as we've had ourselves in the foreign countries, then that means that the end is here. The end has come. And the children of God are learning that they are the predestinated of God. For the Bible said when Paul preached to them in his day over there, as many as were foreordained unto eternal life, they believed. And the Bible said, and the rest was blinded. And he shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own head. I go to the Gentiles. Now, so we realize then that we are the predestinated of God. That is, God determined our destination before the world ever was. And in his foreknowledge, he saved us. And the Bible said, having elected us unto grace, we are now God's elect by foreknowledge. And said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? No one can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. For the Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we're sanctified once and for all by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Bible said, he hath made us perfect forever, and that we are now without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, and we keep ourselves, and the evil one toucheth us not, in that darkness cannot get close to light, because light will make it dissipate. And now the Bible said he not only has justified us as to making us just, as to raising Christ again for our justification, having delivered him for our offenses. Now, we are also glorified, for the Bible said he has also glorified us. What can we say then? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can lay anything to God's charge as to God's elect? Who can lay anything to your charge? And who can separate you from the love of God? Paul said this love of God in Christ Jesus is so great that not even the devil himself can separate you from the love of God. You have all power over the enemy. The Bible said, greater is he that is within you, which is the Holy Ghost, than he that is in the world, which is Lucifer. And behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Ye shall tread on serpents, and if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm thee. No matter what happens to you, as to your spiritual innermost being, which is already sons of God, then, beloved, it cannot be that anything can separate you from the love of God. Time can't do it. Sorrows can't do it. Problems can't do it. Oppression can't do it. No matter what it is, there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So then we know that we're secure. We're discovering who we are. We're discovering that we're the predestinated of God. And we're discovering that this thing that we thought depended upon how good we are or how bad we are has nothing to do with it at all. That it is by the works of Jesus Christ, like they asked the question. They said, what must we do to work the works of God? He said, I am the works. I am the finished works. Paul spoke of a faith. And he said, and with this faith, there's no need for works. When he spoke of this faith as to no need for works, he was speaking of the faith of Jesus Christ. And then when James spoke of works and spoke of faith, he was speaking of the faith of humanity. So that I'm not saved by my faith, I'm not saved by my works, which are very faulty, but I'm saved by the faith of Jesus Christ. Paul said, so then we are saved by the faith of Jesus Christ, that faith that was in Christ that pleased the Heavenly Father, one man sinning unto death, another man's obedience unto righteousness, one man's sin unto death, and all is unto death because of that man's sin, one man's unto righteousness and life, and now all of us that can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are saved. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And the Bible says that they can't call upon him that they don't know. And there's got to be a preacher that will preach this, and he has to be sent. And the Bible said concerning all of these men that come preaching, he said, if they had a stood in my counsel, they would have caused my people to turn from their sins. How do I know that many of these people are not of God? Because they didn't call the people to turn from their sins. They didn't call the people to turn from their worldliness. But if they'd have been of God, they would have caused the people to turn from their sins and caused the people to turn for God and leave these worldly things. All that is of the world is the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And the Bible said, come out from among them and be a separate people and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So then, hurrying along here, maybe a little too fast, we know for sure that the generation of vipers is gone. And we know for sure that we have been born again. And today, the body of death is gone. And in that God destroyed the old person of the body of death, we are now the new person, which is bone of the bone and flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. God in heaven seeing us in a finished product as to the change, as to the Thessalonian change, then that means that we are a finished product in God, perfected, and the Bible said we are complete in Christ. We are complete in Him. And what God wanted us to be, He made Jesus to be that and made Jesus to take our place for sin. And today we're His lovely children. We're the apple of His eye and nothing can touch us. Nothing can spot us. We are a church without spot, without wrinkle. And I'm here tonight as a minister not to teach you to do and don't or whatever, even though we do teach these things of do's and don'ts as to what pleases God for the sake of your faith. In that the Bible says that you have to please God, then do you have confidence of heart and you know that God hears you and you already have the desire that you want of God because all things are already given to you in Christ before the world ever was and made manifest at Calvary or brought to light, even immortality brought to light at Calvary, that you should live forever. So we know that we are children of God. We now have a new body. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. And now you are a new creature in Christ. And where are you tonight? Are you then in the earth? The Bible said if you was in the flesh, you couldn't please God. It said, but I've chosen you out of the flesh, and I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received, until the time of the restoring of all things. And he said, rejoice forevermore, ye that dwell in heaven, for I've made you to sit in these heavenly places. And I've chosen you out of the world, in that I've chosen you out of the flesh. And said, they that walk after the Spirit, and not after the flesh, there is now no condemnation to them. There is no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. So someone would say, well, Brother Pike, if I try to walk not after the flesh, then if I walk after the Spirit, I'll be all right. Folks, let me tell you, there's no way you could walk after the flesh How could you walk after the flesh? You're dead to the flesh. You're not in the flesh. The Bible said if the Spirit of God is on the inside of you, then are you free from death. Then are you free from the law of sin and death. Then are you free from the flesh. Then are you free from the world. You're not in the world. I've chosen you out of the world. And I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the millennium restoring of all things. Like Jesus, when he stood and talked with Nicodemus, he said, Nicodemus, no man has ascended up into heaven but the Son of Man who came down from heaven. And he stood there and he looked at him and he said, who is in heaven? While he talked with him, he looked at him and said, and I'm still in heaven. Being the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, what can we say? Jesus said, you're of the dust. You're of this world. From this dust you came, and to the dust you shall return. He said, I didn't come from the dust. I didn't come from this world. He said, I came from God. Folks, if we're bone of his bone and if we're flesh of his flesh, and today it's not us living but Christ living, then we are not of the dust. We didn't come from the dust. We don't belong to this world. We came from God and we go back to God. And Jesus said, Father, restore unto me the joys I had with thee before the world ever was. So then we know that we're no longer as that old cocoon. We have come by the way of the metamorphosis. The old cocoon is broke open at Calvary as to the rent veil, and we are now the creature of beauty that is heavenly born. The serpent that doesn't go by the way of Calvary, as to the breaking forth of the cocoon, as to the rent veil, there is nothing as to the seed of Christ on the inside of him to come out to be heavenly born. So he belongs to the old serpent family, and he continues to crawl and look for a hole to go into. So we have passed from death unto life. And let us say this year, because we didn't have to get through tonight with what we'd like to say, just having to skip along. You have passed from death unto life. How have I passed from death unto life? I cannot transgress the law, because the dead man that's in the grave, the law hath no power over him. So he cannot transgress the law. He is free from the law. And we are dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whereas we were as one in the body, married to the nature of Lucifer, as to the first man Adam, the fallen, and the mind of condemnation and sin. But now the carnality is gone. And we've crossed the Jordan of the intellectual reasoning. And we now have the mind of Jesus Christ. And now our bodies is free from the nature of the first man, Adam, as to Satan, which was within that body, as to the constraint of that mind. And we now are married to another, even him that is raised from the dead. And today we are free from sin. We are free from the body of iniquity. The body is now dead and the body of sin is now gone. Having been planted with him in the likeness of baptism, we are now raised with him in the newness of life, and we are alive forevermore. We cannot transgress the law because we're dead to the law by the body of the Lord Jesus. And transgression of the law is sin. And the sting of death is sin. And where there's no law, there's no transgression. And where there's no transgression, there's no sin. And where there's no sin, there's no sting of death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is thy victory? Because the grave has no victory when death hath no power as to the sting. So he that is born of God, the Bible said, he cannot sin. Listen real close as we try to close. He cannot sin. I know we say, but Brother Pike, we sin every day. And I know people preach a sinning religion. But there's no such thing as a God-sinning religion. He that is born of God cannot sin. From the time that he is born of God, he never sins. He is predestinated unto righteousness by the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. And God saved you while you were yet in your sins. It had nothing to do with you whatsoever. So then calling you out of those sins, now you are his. Think if his love was so great that he saved you while you were yet in your sins, the Bible tells us. How much more has he saved us? And with his love to seal us, now that we're out of those sins, and we are now beyond those sins, on this side of Calvary, and have no relation with the body of sin. Being free, we are children of God. We are they that have overcome. For the Bible said, he that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. I shall give him of the hidden manna, of this wonderful knowledge of revelation of God. I shall give him a new name. So we know then that he that is born of God John tells us he that is born of God cannot sin. Now, if we come to God, the Bible said if a man say, I have no sin, he is a liar. The same John said, a man that says, I have no sin, he is a liar. But if he will come to God, repent of his sins, God is just to forgive him of his sins. And once his sins are forgiven, then they're forever gone. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. See, they are forever gone. That man can never sin again. So then we pray, Father, forgive us our trespasses. And we forgive those who trespass against us. Oh Lord, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And the Bible said, if you forgive not men the trespasses, your heavenly Father won't forgive your trespasses. And if you do forgive men the trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive your trespasses. So then the Bible said, you keep yourself and the evil one touch you not. Why? Because you cannot sin. How is it that you cannot sin? Because sin is the transgression of the law, and the law is no more, and you're no more under the law. Therefore, if you could sin, you could die. Because to sin, that's the sting of death. So then we cannot sin because the law is gone. Jesus told them just before Calvary. He said, pray. They said, teach us to pray. He said, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Why did he say this? Because he was saying, I'm fixing to go to Calvary. The veil is going to be rent, and the kingdom is going to be here because I am the fullness of God, and the kingdom is my spirit, even Christ, on the inside, and it's coming to you. And the Bible says, the law and the prophets until John, since that time, the kingdom is here, and the kingdom of God has been preached, and men, through their spiritual innermost being, presses their way into the kingdom of God. And now you're sealed on the inside by this wonderful Holy Spirit to where you cannot sin, and you pass from death unto life, so you never get touched by the evil one. Satan never touches you. A good man falls and gets back up seven times and still hasn't sinned one time because God said, I have healed your backsliding. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pine, I believe that we can backslide, but the Bible said, woe unto the backslider, for I am married unto you. I've healed your backsliding. Calvary took away your backsliding, and Christ is married unto you, and Christ is married to the bride. And you can call it backsliding or whatever you want to, but God blotted all of that out. There is no sin to them that are born again that are in Christ Jesus, who cannot walk after the flesh, who walk after the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of Christ is within you, and if you have not Christ's Spirit, then are you none of His. Let's give the Lord a hand, can you? Now, I know that I went much too fast tonight to try to get into this, but as you can see, it took a little time, even with the way that I hurried. And if I had not hurried, I just had to have told you a Bible story, and that would have been it. But see, this message is getting the bride ready. Faith, let me say this in closing, faith brings us to the regeneration, the washing of regeneration, that is baptism into death and coming up into a new generation. For Jesus was the beginning of the creation of God, not Adam. Jesus was the beginning, and Adam was the beginning of the evil that brought man unto death. As in Adam, all sin and all die. In Christ, all are made alive. And the Bible says that the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto grace. Now that grace has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. And Jesus was telling them that the kingdom is coming. I'm going and fulfill the law. Not one jot nor tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled, he said. And I'm fixing to go to Calvary, and I'm going to fold up the law and lay it away. I'm going to finish the law. I have fulfilled the law. As Christ within this Jesus body, he could have said, it's fulfilled, and I'm going to take the Spirit out of this body and put the Spirit as to the fulfillment of the law on the inside of you. And so then, that will end the law. Folded up and laid away, Jesus said, it is finished, Father. And he hath finished our faith as to the author and the finisher of our faith. At Calvary, he finished our faith and perfected us forever. So then, the Bible said, under the tutorer, until the faith comes. But now that the faith of Jesus Christ hath come, Paul said, by the faith of Jesus Christ are ye saved. not of works, not of yourself, lest any man should boast. This is why the Jews couldn't find it. They sought it as though it was by works, when the Bible said, with the heart, man believes in what Jesus done, and that's believing unto righteousness, even the righteousness of God, which is by Christ Jesus. And in believing unto righteousness, confession is made with the lips unto salvation, for out of the heart man speaketh. As to salvation, to faith. So with the heart man confesses unto salvation, which means deliverance. That means that we are free. Not as the scribes that said, I fast and I pray, and God didn't even pay any attention to him. But as the man that said, Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. And the Bible said he went down to his house justified rather than the other. Because lest your righteousness exceed that of human righteousness and endeavors, as the Pharisees and scribes, to work your way unto salvation, lest it exceeds that to a greater righteousness, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the Bible said, ye shall in no wise be saved. So we know then the faith of Christ has saved us, and now we have this heavenly treasure in the earthen vessel, and our faith has only made us heir to it. And we now have His Spirit. And the Spirit which is heavenly treasure within your earthen vessel must now be made manifest in your mortal genes as you day by day surrender this body, conforming to the Lord Jesus, mortifying the deeds of the body, coming out from the world, be holy in body and spirit, being holy, giving the body unto the Lord to make the life of Jesus Christ manifest in your body to the extent of casting down every thought and bringing every thought into subjection to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your kind attention tonight. It's my pleasure to be here, and it's certainly a pleasure to see and have fellowship with the beloved saints of God. Ye are mighty people. I wish we had time to tell you who you are and what you are tonight, as to some that may not know. And I would just love tonight to be able to make a complete expose of the mighty sons of God that are in the earth today. Remember, in Christ, there's neither male nor female. And so then, as to the daughters of the Lord, you are of the male, so you are one in the Lord. While we're standing together, let's just lift our voices up and our hearts up to God. Put your faith in Christ, in the word of what we preach to you tonight. Let your faith rest in those things that we've said. Because the translation as to what we call the translation really is the transfiguration. Translation of the Spirit into the kingdom of God. Transformation of the graduality unto the change, which is the transfiguration of your body. See, and as we go through these three great dimensional changes, a projection of God within us, such great and mighty things are taking place. And we've got to have a stable faith. We cannot have a stabilization of faith. I'm only a heifer of your faith. Paul said, we wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. Stabilized faith must be in this that we're preaching, so that you can rest assured that when He breaks forth in the heavens, there is no condemnation to you. Satan cannot intimidate you. But in all humility, following after charity, you lift your hands and hearts to heaven and you say, God, by the righteousness of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ, I am innocent. I am free from death. I am free from sin. I am the apple of your eye. You love me and I love you. And with all of my stumblings, with all of my problems, O Lord, I come to Thee, for Thou art my soul and my shepherd as to my keeper. O Lord, when my life appears, as Paul said, then we shall appear in glory with Him. It's time that we begin to believe, children of God. It's time that we begin to lay hold on eternal life by faith. And it was translated that He should not see death. See, and now that God has taken you from death, I wish we had more time to explain what death really is and the differences to differentiate. See, Paul said, I show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep. And I wish we could differentiate tonight in some of those things as to bring out more, as especially concerning the mystery of that which we shall not do, as to sleep. So in this, we can rest assured that He is a present help in the time of need. He is our great and mighty beloved Savior. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. Can we, Brother Taylor? When I'm tossed
on life's sea, and the waves all cover me, and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through. Seems I hear a voice say, child, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heaven's view. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear. One more curve in life's road. One more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Can you sing that with me now? Don't let Satan see your tears. Try to smile above your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way, and it'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after a while. Sing. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear. One more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get. Sing that chorus one more time. You've got one more sorrow, one more tear. You've got one more heartache friend down here. One more curve in life. One more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. When the world seems cold and your friends seem few, there is someone who cares for you. When there's tears in your eyes and your heart bleeds inside, there is someone who's a friend to you. Sing that with me. Someone who cares, someone who shares all your burdens like no other can do. And he'll come down from the sky to brush the tears from your eyes. He's Savior and he cares for you. Where will you be 1,000,000 years from now? Can you sing it with me? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roam throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and its will flip passes by. From the moment of your birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny. Years, where will you be?
Can you sing the chorus with me?
Where will you be? A million years from now, will you be singing? Will you be happy? While the ages roll through all eternity, I ask this question, where will you be?
While we sing these little choruses, the altar is open, and while we're singing, you're welcome to come. Give me another key, friend.
My soul cries out, oh Lord, how long?
I wonder if the Floyd sisters would come and help me sing.
And you call me home, since I caught a glimpse of my home in the sky. Nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel a breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me.
My heart cries out,
oh Lord, how long till my toiling ends and you call me home? Since I caught the glimpse of my home in the sky, nothing in this world keep me satisfied. Is that the light of home I see? Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can hear for all the angels sing with hearts of gold and a thousand strings. A charm since I've heard the song, sweet Beulah Lane, my home, sweet home. Is that the light of home I see?
Sing that with me.
Do I feel the breeze from the crystal sea? With the Lord standing high on heaven's balcony, that's the lights of home, a welcome sight to me.
You love the Lord?
Let's lift our hands up and let's love the Lord. Let's tell Him how much that we love Him tonight. How much we care for Him, because the time is getting closer and closer. We had made the statement that the Gentile days was at an end and that America would go out, which was a big statement because she's been a powerful nation for years. But immediately after we said that, within a few days, she dropped to third place. Then we got a report that one of the great leaders had said she had dropped to 13th place, whereas never before has she ever had to take a bow to other nations. But I'd made the statement, I said that she'll never lose a battle. America will never go down until the church goes out. But when the church gets ready to go out, she is a reflector as to the new world of that wonderful light of God. And once the church is gone, then America will be contemptible in the sight of God. And they will not be able as a people to reflect the righteousness of the church. And because of that, she will not have anything to secure her. And it looks like that we've come to that place. Let's sing this chorus together. Let's just lift our hands up. Close our eyes. The altars are open. It might be good if everyone would come to the altar tonight here in Charleston, that these people need you to stand in for them. And here in Charleston, they need somebody to intercede. The Bible said, pray that God will grant repentance unto them that are without. So then God is dependent on you. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against God by not praying for the people. And I thank you for the valley that I walk through today. The greater the valley, the more I learned to pray. For I found you with the lilies there blooming by the way. And I thank you for the valleys that I walk through today. Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed for them that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys that I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. And I thank you for the valleys that I walk through. Can you sing that with me? For a thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys that I walked through today. Lift your hands up. Close your eyes. The Bible said, examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Many shall depart from the faith in the latter time, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. But folks, you are children of God. You're the blessed of the Lord. You are those that are eternal. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You pass from death unto life, and you shall never come into condemnation, and no one can lay anything to the charge, your charge, because you are God's elect. Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus together. Can we, Brother Taylor? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. That's good enough.
It makes me sing when I get happy.
It makes me
sing when I get happy. Sing when I get happy. I'm good enough for me. Give me that
old-time religion.
Give me that
old-time religion.
Give me that
old-time
religion.
It's good enough
for me. I want that
old-time
religion. I want that old-time
religion.
I want that
old-time
religion.
Up
for me, will take us
all to heaven.
It will take us
all to heaven. It will
take us
all
to glory.
It's good enough for me.
So give me that
old time
religion. Give me that
old time
religion.
Give me that
old
time
religion.
It's good
enough for me. You better get the
old-time
religion. You better get the
old-time
religion. Better get the
old-time
religion.
Oh, it's good enough
for me. I've got that
old-time.
Can you give him a wave,
offering? Got that
old-time
religion.
I got that
old-time
religion.
And it's good
enough for
me.
Oh, give me that
old-time religion,
give me that
old-time
religion,
give me that
old-time
religion,
cause
it's good enough.
One more time. You'd better get the
old-time
religion,
better get the old-time
religion, you better get the
old-time
religion, cause
it's good
enough
for me.
We want to sing another chorus of that, and while we're singing another chorus, I want to pray for you. If you just step out here, a few of you right here, step out here if you'd like to be prayed for tonight. We'd be glad to pray for you. While we sing this chorus, the old time religion. God is doing great, marvelous, wonderful things in the day we're living in. This is one of the most beautiful days that has ever been in the history of the world. And God is doing greater, more mighty, more precious, wonderful things in this age than ever before. And though a lot of people do not see this yet, God is doing that. You know, God gives the Holy Ghost. He pours out the Holy Ghost on them that will obey Him. He gives the Holy Ghost to them that will obey Him. And He gives the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. He gives us joy unspeakable and full of glory when we really worship God, when we really let our heart and faith out to Christ. I want you to sing this with me again. Give me that
old.
I'd like for the ministers to come up here.
Give me that.
Can I get my minister friends to come up here with me?
Give me that.
Would you like to come up and pray with me?
Good enough for me.
You better get the
old-time
religion. Better get that
old-time
religion. You better get the
old-time
religion. Cause
it's good
enough for
me.
It makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. Makes me sing when I get happy. And it's good enough for me. I want that
old-time
religion. Don't you want the
old-time
religion? Don't you want the
old-time
religion?
Cause
it's good
enough
for me. I've got that
old-time
religion. I got the
old-time
religion.
I got that
old-time
religion.
Father of heaven, Lord, as we lay hands upon these brethren, may
religion,
the power of God be here tonight, and may their faith go out to God.
Oh
Lord, touch
me
tonight. May Thy Spirit enter into these bodies to enlarge
me
their faith, Father,
everybody
to give them a vision,
makes me
to want to testify this wonderful gospel of Jesus
me
Christ,
love
Father, to stand out among the youth
and
be different in Jesus' name.
Just
to touch them,
oh
God, with Your
Spirit
tonight. Heavenly Father, touch these to
come
up
religion,
open up their minds and open up their hearts.
Religion,
God, let them feel that wonderful soul of
me
Calvary tonight.
It will
in the wonderful name of Jesus. Brethren, let's pray for
it
these
will
people.
Take us all to
Father,
heaven.
In the name of Jesus, as we pray tonight, Heavenly Father, for these people, as we lay hands upon them tonight, I ask You to move by Your power. I ask You to heal tonight. You can do abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. In the name of Jesus Christ, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Can you let your faith go out to God? You want to come
come down here and pray for these people. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, break the yokes from off of these bodies. Take away the intimidation. God, that Satan cannot intimidate these people, but may the power of God be in these lives. Father, touch them in the name of Jesus tonight, that the moving of your Spirit may take away everything, Lord, within these hearts. In the wonderful name of Jesus, God. Touch this little lady tonight. In the name of Jesus, may your Spirit be upon her. And God, upon these people that are standing here worshiping tonight. Lord, if they've got sick bodies, heal their sick bodies. Father, forgive their sins. Take away their iniquities. Oh, God, and let them come into the wonderful faith of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can you come up this way just a little bit?
Give me that old
time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Can you praise the Lord? Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. That old time religion. Old time religion. Want that old time religion. Cause it's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that. Father, break every yoke from off of Randy tonight. Father, may the yoke be broken. And dear God, may he step out by faith, Lord, to believe in the righteousness of God, to lay aside everything, Lord, that will drag him farther down into the pit and make him walk in faith in Jesus' name. Father, touch this little brother tonight and encourage his faith. Father, the youth tries today to do something. Revive them, oh God. Revive them again and bring them into the full blessings of Almighty God. Father, bless this little one tonight. Touch it in the name of Jesus. May the wonderful Spirit be here tonight. For Lord, in your righteousness and your glory tonight and in your strength tonight, trusting in the righteousness of God, trusting in the righteousness of God. Father, touch this sister tonight. Father, trusting in the righteousness of God tonight. In the name of Jesus tonight. May the Spirit tonight, Heavenly Father, may it touch this girl tonight. And may it touch these people tonight. In the name of Jesus. Dear God, break the yoke. Take it away in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Oh God, touch these people in Jesus' name. Let thy Spirit move tonight. Let the power of God be here tonight. By the righteousness of Jesus Christ. May it be so in Jesus' name tonight. Father, let thy great Spirit be felt tonight. Father, through thy righteousness. Satan, in the name of Jesus, I adjure thee, my God, that you move your hands off of this girl tonight, that her faith might go out to thee, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Father, to touch these people. Let them feel the warm flow of your Calvary tonight. Lord, of the blood that comes down from Calvary and the great, eternal, mighty Holy Ghost. Father, you said if two or three gathered together in your name that you'd be in the midst of us. And Father, I feel you in the midst of us tonight. Stir our faith again. Awaken the people, Father, to this wonderful touch of heaven. And oh God, let them trust in this great, wonderful Calvary. Lord, to renew their vows unto God and to renew their strength in the Lord that they might do great, mighty things for you. God, may the power of God be upon Bill tonight. And every yoke be broken. May it be answered, Lord, that even his relatives might feel the power of God tonight. The moving and the wooing of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, break the yoke from this boy tonight, Father. Let him make a dedication to you such as he never has before. Hallelujah. I feel your Spirit, Father. Lord, as we pray tonight, I feel your Spirit upon these different ones to touch them tonight. Father, touch this little lamp tonight in the name of Jesus. Let the greatness of your Spirit come down. Give us a move among the youth, Heavenly Father. Lord, that they might be touched in such a way. Oh, God, that they'll remember the moving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. From the Lord. Oh, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. Oh, I got just what I wanted. Can you sing that tonight? Oh, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted from the Lord. Got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. And I got just what I wanted. Can you worship the Lord tonight? Hallelujah! Let's worship God tonight.
Jesus is what I wanted. Jesus is what I wanted. He's my Lord. Oh, I got just what I wanted. I got just what I wanted. Have you got what you wanted from the Lord?
I got just what I wanted from the Lord.
One more time. Oh, I got just what I wanted.
I got just what I wanted.
I got just what I wanted
from the Lord. The Holy Ghost is what I wanted. The Holy Ghost is what I wanted. And I got just what I wanted. One more time. You can get just what you want, friend. You can get just what you want, friend. You can get just what you want from the Lord. You can get just what you want, friend. You can get just what you want, friend. Get just what you wanted from the Lord. If you want your healing, oh, if you want your healing, you can get just what you want, friend, from the Lord. If you want your healing,
if you want your healing,
you can get what you want, friend, from the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing another chorus, Brother Taylor. Gone, that stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone. You know, some of you people have been over in the Holy Land. Some of you have been over in the Holy Land with me, having been there about 7 or 8 times, and having ministered there in Egypt, and over in the different parts of the Holy Land, going by to look at the tomb from time to time, I find the stone is actually rolled away. It's gone, and Jesus is not in that tomb anymore. I know, but he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and I. And that means that whatever we want, we can have, because the Bible says that he is the high priest of our confession. And whatever you can confess with the heart, man makes a confession unto salvation as to deliverance, whether it be for your healing or whatever it might be. And when you can make that confession, you can have it, because he's the high priest of your confession. If you confess failure, then are you a failure. But if you confess victory in Christ, then are you a victorian. Gone, I saw the stone, it's rolled back, gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side, for he's gone. All the death triumphs, gone. Sin is now. I want you to sing it like this. We sometimes sing it just like this. Oh, it's gone. The heart of stone is rolled back, gone. The fleshly tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side, for I'm gone. Gone, sin is defeated, gone. I'm alive forevermore. Sing it one more time now. Oh, it's gone. I'll take out of you the heart of stone, put within you the heart of flesh, and write my laws upon the table of your heart, and my love shall constrain you to walk in my way. Do you feel delivered from death? Folks, if you don't feel delivered from death, if you don't have faith in God tonight, that you're delivered from death tonight, you'll never make the change. You'll never make the translation. If you still follow that thing of trying to get better and trying to get right, the church world isn't getting any better. It's worse now than it's ever been in the history of the world. And it's getting worse and worse. It's time that the elect step out and begin to take this thing by faith in God and what God says in his word to believe, and you'll feel the activation of the mighty power of God, and you'll find the Spirit of the Lord working in your life. If you don't do that, you'll become pious like the Jews, and you'll become self-righteous. And the Bible said, and they sought not the righteousness of God, but in salvation, and goeth by the righteousness of God, but by works. And because of that, they stumble at the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Christ Jesus. So it's gone. The heart of stone is rolled back gone. The fleshly tomb is empty gone. To sit at my Father's side. Oh, I'm gone. Death triumphed, passion, death, and alive. Sin is defeated. Can't sin because you're born of God. I'm alive forever. Just one more time. Think of it now. So I am gone. The heart of stone's been rolled back. Gone. The fleshly tomb, it's empty. Gone. To sit at my Father's side. He that overcometh shall sit down in the throne with me. Gone. All the death triumphant. Gone. Sin is defeated. Gone. I'm alive forever. Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes and sing this little chorus. And time shall be no more, no more.
And time shall be no more.
For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it again now. For time. And the Bible said in Revelation 10 and 7 that the angel shall set one foot on the land and one foot on the sea and lift his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And the Bible said in the days of the sounding of the last trump, the mysteries of God should be finished.
The angel shall stand.
And on the
and land
and time. We're going to sing it one more time. Let's all together sing it now.
For time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be. For the angel will stand.
Lift up your hands now.
On the sea and the land.
Remember that mighty angel, that was the Lord Jesus. The Jews didn't know him as the mighty angel. That's during the tribulation period. Didn't know him but as the mighty angel. Never knew him as the Messiah, so they called him the mighty angel. But he lifts up his hands to heaven. Swear the time shall be no more. Peter said, you are the people upon whom the end of the world has come. And the Bible said, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. And so then tonight, we're bone of his bone and we're flesh of his flesh. Can you lift up your hands tonight? The end of the world is here. The end of time is here. The mysteries of God are being finished. One more time together.
So time shall be no more. Oh, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. And I will praise my Lord. I will praise my Lord.
Praise. Can you lift up your hands? Can you close your eyes?
sinner slain.
And I'll give him glory all
before, for his blood has washed away.